A very good afternoon to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is the 23rd May 2020, Sunday. So our Sunday class, 24 already, sorry. I'm 1 day late, Hari Raya, so 24 of May. We will revert back to our Sunday format. Sunday format is after our chanting. We will start our sharing of the unit Dhamma code. Then at about 4:15 or what, we will stop for meditation. 45 minutes of silent awareness meditation. Then after the meditation, we will have the Q&A and reporting of meditation. Okay, let us get ready for puja. Develop the sadha, faith in the Buddha and the Dhamma or their teaching, then develop the virya, followed by sati, mindfulness. So we will commence the puja chanting, mindfulness. Okay. Namo Bhansi Se Chia Moni Ho. Namo Bhansi Se Chia Moni Ho. Namo Bhansi Se Chia Moni Ho. Namo Kwansing Pusa. Namo Kwansing Pusa. Namo Kwansing Pusa. Namo Ami Toho. Namo Ami Toho. Namo Ami Toho. Namo Milofo. Namo Milofo. Namo Milofo. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Tisangwang Pusa. Namo Tisangwang Pusa. Namo Tisangwang Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava. Buddha Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swagato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa. Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa. Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Padatipata Virabhani Sikha Padang Samadhiyami. Adina Dana Virabhani Sikha Padang Samadhiyami. Kame Sumichachara Virabhani Sikha Padang Samadhiyami. Musavada Virabhani Sikha Padang Samadhiyami. Sura Miraya Majapamadatana Virabhani Sikha Padang Samadhiyami. Sadhu Sadhu, sadhu. Let's pay respect to Pajama, Badang Pajami. Damang Pajami. Sanghang Pajami. Okay, you all can be seated. So, very good afternoon to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. We will now commence our sharing of the unique Dhamma code. Turn to page 32. We are at Dhamma code 112. Unique code 112. Yeah. Okay. So you maintain some of our attention, then we will start. Unique code 112. Unique Dhamma code 112. Without yoniso manasikara or wise attention at the moment of sense experience, one will continue to cause immediate stirring and reaction of one's mind, born of habitual tendency. So this one, as I have explained before, is easy to understand. Yoniso manasikara is the initial wisdom born of the first and second turning contemplation and inquiry. So first turning is listening to the Dhamma or Sutta as taught by the Buddha. And second turning is to reflect, contemplate, and inquire deep into it, so as to stabilize the understanding. And you stabilize the understanding, you can actually develop initial wisdom. So the purpose of contemplation and reflection is to understand that you have to the moment that you have listened. Oh, what happened to the video? Okay, ready? Can you all hear me now? Oh, yeah. Good, okay. So maybe as usual, start again. So unique code, unique Dhamma code, verse number 112. Without yoniso manasikara, which is the wise attention or initial wisdom, at the moment of sense experience, one will continue to cause immediate stirring and reaction of one's mind, born of habitual tendency. This one I have to explain a little bit. The wise attention or yoniso manasikara is our initial wisdom born of first and second turning. So this first and second turning wisdom is very useful. So when you listen to Dhamma, you listen to the sutta or discourse of the Buddha, you will develop some form of understanding. But for normal people who don't have their past cultivation, it's not easy for them to understand. So in order to understand further, the Buddha suggested the second turning wisdom. Second turning wisdom is to reflect, contemplate, and inquire into what you have heard under the first turning. So under the first turning, if some form of wisdom arise, you will develop what we call Suttamayapanya, which is the first turning wisdom. So once you have Suttamayapanya, it will enable you to move on to develop the second turning wisdom. When you start to reflect, contemplate, and inquire deep into that teaching that you have heard or read about, or study, then you start to stabilize it. And when you stabilize it, you can assimilate, like your food, you can slowly assimilate it into your understanding so that your nature develop that understanding. So this understanding, which is the initial wisdom, is very useful. The Buddha called it Cittamaya Panya. So Suttamaya Panya and Cittamaya Panya, you combine them, they become Yoniso Manasikara, the initial wisdom, born of first and second turning cultivation. Then this habitual tendency is, before you have the wisdom, you tend to develop a lot of habitual tendency, which is negative, because you lack the spiritual faculties. You lack the stability of mindfulness, wisdom, and understanding. Because of that, the mental hindrance take over, the five mental hindrance. They are sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness of mind, and doubt. So once you have these five mental hindrance, it will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. That's the reason why most people cannot meditate, cannot be in the state of silent awareness to develop the meditation. So most people, because they have such problem, they will try to use certain object of meditation or technique and skillful means to anchor the mind. Otherwise, this mind becomes heedless. It thinks a lot, it wanders off. Then when you look at the mental hindrance, especially the first two, sensual desire and ill will, this is what human beings without wisdom, without mindfulness will do. Every time they see something, hear something, smell something, think, taste something or think of something, they tend to stir their mind. It's either they respond to it positively or negatively, with like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. So if every day when you live your life, every moment of sense experience, you start to stir your mind and develop that habitual tendency, it will become something that you do very often. That's why we call it habitual tendency. And this habitual tendency, if you look at it, they are your first two mental hindrance of sensual desire and ill will. That's the reason why when you keep on arising them, your mind will never be able to settle down and become peaceful. It can never enter the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. Then what happens is heedlessness. You become heedless. You think a lot. You react to whatever you see, you hear, you smell, you taste, you tactile, feel, or think. So this six sense door, the six type of consciousness, every moment of sense experience, your mind is not at peace. There is no equanimity. There is no stability of samadhi. There is no mindfulness to allow you to see things as they are. That's the reason why you start to develop the heedlessness. You think a lot. You create a lot of mental activity. So this understanding will reverse your whole cultivation. When you understand this, you will focus on cultivating the initial wisdom, Yoniso Manasikara. So when you have the initial wisdom, when you can accept the reality of the moment, every moment of sense experience, whether you see something, hear something, smell something, taste something, tactile feel or think of something, you are at peace. Then you can accept the reality of the moment. We are your wisdom. Things is just the way they are. Condition like that, things will be like that. That is their universal characteristics. Anicchang, dukkhang, and anatta. Then the world is the world. So all this understanding will allow you to be at peace. So when you are at peace, you don't create mental hindrance, especially sensual desire. You will. That's how you slowly get to decondition your heedless thinking. Then you have more and more moment of peace, moment of calmness. Your mind starts to stabilize. No more reaction, no more stirring. It is most of the time at peace, quiet, peaceful, tranquil, and aware. And this mind is a very beautiful mind. It is, like we say, trained. And this mind is no longer heedless. It's heedful, attentive, mindful, constantly aware, ever mindful. Then you can use this mind, which is a meditative mind, to meditate, to develop wisdom, to develop understanding. If you can do that, then the third turning wisdom, bhavana maya panya, wisdom born of bhavana, which is the meditative discipline, they will arise. So this is how your wisdom actually become very penetrative. The third turning one is very penetrative. It is always about the third turning. And the third turning is always about awakening. Because it is wisdom born of the meditative training. Means born of the silent mind, the meditative mind, that either insight into phenomena or awaken to phenomena. So this will enable you to see things as they are and develop the understanding to awaken. And this third turning wisdom will transform the individual form and mind. Then when the form and mind awaken, this wisdom is connected to the form and mind. Then this wisdom will stay with the nature after that because it has awakened. You don't have to remember anything. Don't try to remember after that, because wisdom is very special. When you have, means you have. It's not a knowledge. It's an understanding born of awakening. When you have it, means you have it. You will never lose it. So don't try to remember anything. The memory part is actually the trap. Yeah, that is the knowledge. So human being, because of the mundane mind, they tend to have this wrong view, thinking that they must have this memory. Then only they have the wisdom or the understanding. No. If you commit to memory, you accumulate it, then it becomes a knowledge. It's not an understanding. So you rely on it through memory to recall, then you think you know. That one is not the real wisdom. The real wisdom, no memory. No need to remember anything. Because the understanding is already there. The moment you experience something, that yoniso manasikara, or that wisdom that you have, they will surface and prompt you with the understanding. And straight away, you know what to do. You will know how to act. You will act according to that understanding or wisdom. You will not act according to memory, your views, your opinion, your conditioning, your belief system, which is full of delusion. Your fear, your insecurity, your whatever you accumulate are your experiences, good and bad. So what are they? They are your fear, your insecurity, your misery, your scars of memory, your sorrow, your lamentation. Of course, there are good moments too, but it leads to attachment, craving, wanting it to be repeated again. Then it develops sensual desire and all those things. That's why when you recall the unhappy past, you become miserable. Then when you recall the happy moments, you develop attachment, craving, clinging, grasping. Because your mind is never with the moment in silent awareness. When your mind is ever mindful with the moment in silent awareness, it lives life. It will understand what is going on in life. So this part is very important. Now I read again the verse, the unique Dhamma code 112, you will understand. Without yoniso manasikara, or the wisdom, initial wisdom, which is the wise attention at the moment of sense experience, one will continue to cause immediate stirring and reaction of one's mind, born of habitual tendency. So by now, this is clear. Then we move on to the next unit code. Verse 113. If yoniso manasikara, one's mind will not stir, and one will have more moments of space between thought, or silence between thoughts, and peace leading to a stable mind that is always in sati most of the time. So for your daily mindfulness to stabilize, you must develop this initial wisdom so that you have more moments of silence, stillness, mindfulness, peacefulness, the space between thought. Without the stirring of mind and the reaction, your sensual desire, you will no more, the habitual tendency no more, then you have more and more moments of peacefulness, stillness, silence. And this is your meditative mind. That's how your daily mindfulness can stabilize. Then you realize most of the time you are mindful, you are just aware, either with specific phenomenal awareness without thought, or with spacious awareness without a center. You will experience these two mind states very frequently, very often. Then this will accumulate into samadhi, and it will also accumulate into what we call the stability of mind state, or sati sampajana, means mindfulness and clear comprehension. And that is step 5 of Abhijja Sutta. So once you realize that 5 means you are home, you are destined for enlightenment. To have step 5, you need step 4. Step 4 is cultivating the initial wisdom, yoniso manasikara. And before step 4, you need the faith, which is step 3, saddha, faith in the Buddha and his teaching. When you use that train mind to investigate into Dhamma, and when it stand up to investigation, your faith in the Buddha and his teaching become very stable. That's how faith, step 3 of Abhijja Sutta, comes to be. And to develop this faith, you must have step 2. Step 2 is constantly listening to the true Dhamma, then cultivate the first and second turning wisdom. Sutamaya panya, chintamaya panya. So when you develop this, it will help you to investigate into Dhamma too. Then your faith stabilizes. Then your initial wisdom stabilizes. That's how step 2 will lead to step 3 and step 4. Then step 4 will lead to step 5. So Abhijja Sutta, step by step, it will happen. But most important is still step 1. You must have Dhamma friends. That's the reason why under the sutta, to be an enlightened being, even a sotapan, the first prerequisite is having Dhamma friends. You can go and read up and check out the sutta. So having Dhamma friend is step 1 of Abhijja Sutta. That's the reason why I set up this Kayamita website and started off this Kayamita ship. Is family of Kayamitas is to enable you all to have step 1 of Abhijja Sutta developed. So as Kayamita, we definitely have Dhamma friends. So step 1 is automatic. Then you have the condition to listen to the true Dhamma. That's the reason why our classes are organized in that way. Tuesday class, Thursday class, Sunday class. Then in between, we have our house dana, monthly sharing. Then we also have our, what they call, various type of Dhamma talk held at various places. Then we also have spiritual trip. We also have annual retreat. Yeah? And sometimes short retreat at other places like Sumeru and other things. Wherever people invite us. So all these activities are occasion for you to develop the training of the mind, the cultivation, the initial wisdom. So Kayamitaship is very important. Then recently, I think we have to thank Chin Hao and Sui. They have actually come out with a video instruction to teach all Kayanamita, how to make full use of our brotherteo.com website. Because there are a lot of information, very useful information there. Not only the audio file, the video file, or the transcript book. There are also a lot of Dhamma. And these Dhamma are very important. So if you go in, take the trouble to read through our homepage. Our homepage, like what Jinhao and Sui has explained, give you our latest activity. So you will try our best to update that website until the most recent. But because of MCO, I have only managed to update my partner until the first Zoom video conference, which is, I think, 24th of March, 2020. So I will have to continue to update for the month of April and this May. Then it will be up to date. Jinhao has actually kept very good progress and very up to date. All the audio file, the video file, and the various categorizing of all this very useful Dhamma material. We call it a repository of Dhamma material, and they are very useful. Then after that home page, you move on to that about. About means about our website. Why do we set up this website? The purpose, the intent. Then how did the Kayanamita ship idea come about? So it came from the Buddha too. The Buddha actually gave us a lot of important pointers and emphasis on the importance of having Dhamma friends, Kayanamitas. That's the reason why I actually make use of his sharing and his teaching to actually build up this Kayanamitaship. This is the most important. So when you have Kayanamitas as friend, means you have Dhamma friends. So Dhamma friends, there are two types, I explained. First type are normal Dhamma friends who walk the path of Dhamma to develop the understanding of his teaching and to cultivate his teaching. So these are ordinary Dhamma friends. The second type is very useful, more difficult to find. These are Dhamma friends that has awakened to the Dhamma, that has developed the understanding of the Dhamma. So these are Dhamma friends that are very, very virtuous, full of wisdom and understanding. So this type of Dhamma friends can show you the way. They are part of the Triple Gem. They can actually explain to you the Dhamma. They can be a blessing to all. So our intent is to have more and more of these Kayanamitas of ours becoming the second type of Dhamma friends. Dhamma friends that has the Dhamma. So as this number grows, the impact and the influence on the collective consciousness, the country consciousness, will be more and more, more and more. And you will see the big difference, the great transformation. And then the consciousness, especially Kayanamita's consciousness, they will continue to grow, continue to become very stable and very, very forceful. So all this, for those who really cultivate, you will experience them. You will understand what I'm trying to share. Then after that, you read about the attributes of Kayanamitas. What are the attributes? So to be a true Kayanamita, you must have all those attributes. You not only follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil by keeping precept, you also cultivate Noble Eightfold Path to develop wholesomeness and develop wisdom to purify your mind. Then you follow the Avijja Sutta to cultivate. Then you must have all the important right views and the requisite. Then when you join the Kayanamita ship, you get to perform all the 10 meritorious actions, and you get to perform a lot of wholesomeness. You get to cultivate, you get to develop the Dhamma understanding. And there's a whole range of wonderful benefits that comes along. And all these are free, given free. That's why you will cherish the great wisdom of Lord Buddha. Then you will actually have great respect towards him. So the gratitude and the respect naturally will arise after you understand the beauty of his teaching and how wonderful his teaching is all about. It not only allow you to understand life, it allow you to live life, it allow you to awaken and become enlightened so that you don't have to suffer anymore. Suffering need not be. So that you can gain the happy life, the peaceful life, the tranquil, peaceful life, leading to all the great wisdom, virtue, and understanding. And this will enable you to live the life of a noble one, awakened one, to experience life to the fullest and the highest. So this is what the third phase of Dhamma is all about. We call it Pativeda. You get to reap the fruit of your hard work, which is to live the life of an enlightened being, so that you will have joy, you will have deep understanding, then you are a blessing to all. Your mind states are always beautiful. Then no more suffering. Suffering need not be. So every moment, every instant is beautiful, peaceful, tranquil, still. Mind states are beautiful. Then you get to experience all of the pristine beauty and wonders of life. And this is what life is all about. You can live life to the fullest and the highest. And you can really become a blessing to all. So this is how wonderful this teaching is. So you go through the website, you can read them. Homepage, about us. Then you have activity, what we do. Tuesday class, Thursday class, Sunday class, the house dana, the monthly sharing and all those things. Together with all the spiritual trip, retreat, meditation retreats and all those things. Then there are also other very important YouTube video files that Chin Hao has developed. And our website committee that has helped to actually build up the website. Because it's not easy to maintain a website. Your website can be attacked and inflicted with virus and all those things. So we have gone through over the past 3 years. We learned quite a bit. Then we strengthened our website. And we have to thank Sui An, Brother Lau, Brother Teo, Pamasuri, and all those who has helped out. And also my daughter, Sui Chin Hao Liao. I think they gave us very good advice. So because our Kayamita fund are quite stable, and we are able to fund all this activity. So I told them, pay for it. Pay for the good security system or whatever. Then we will make sure our website will not have problems and issues. So these are all the important usage. Then there is a search engine there also. If you want to know any topic or look for any book, I think you Google, it will come up. Then under the publication, you have this ebook and PDF file. So whichever format that you are familiar with, you can actually on them and read them. Initially, the ebook maybe you have to adjust because the spacing, all those things. If you are not IT guy, I find a problem. Then I ask Chin Hao. Then Chin Hao say, no, you can adjust your one. Then the spacing all will become okay again. Then it's like a book. Then you can read through it, browse through it, especially you have that tabloid, then very easy to read. It's like an ebook. Then the PDF file is for people who like to use the computer to work with your whatever reading or cultivation or understanding. They are all there. Then you go through the instruction as given by Jin Hao and my daughter, that video. He also teach you how to click on that subscribe and the bell, so that every time when there is a new audio file or video file or whatever sharing, you will receive them. So that subscribe followed by the bell, you have to actually click on it. Then you will continue to receive the notification. So this part, maybe just to add on for Kayumitas who are new, who may not know the extent of repository or Dhamma material that we have developed into our website. So the website, you can access it through Google or whatever search engine. You just type in BROTEOH, Brother Teo, one word, short form, Brother Teo, BROTEOH.com, then it will come out. Or My Kayamita, it also come out. So nowadays it's quite easy to log into the website because quite a number of people has logged in. So the search engine can find it very fast. Okay, now we go back to verse 113. I'll read again. With Yoniso Manasikara, one's mind will not stir and one will have more moments of silence or space between thought, and one will be at peace, leading to a stable mind that is always in sati most of the time. That's how you stabilize your mindfulness and develop sati sampajana, which is step 5 of Abhijja Sutta. Then we move on to verse, unique code 114. The 5 mental hindrance impede or hinders us from entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner awareness, whereas the opposite 5 spiritual faculty can lead us to understand the spiritual teaching and support us in our cultivation. So knowing this, you must diligently cultivate the spiritual faculties. And for those who have experienced them, who understand, when your spiritual faculties are developed, then your daily mindfulness becomes very easy. You straight away can develop them. Then your formal meditation becomes even more easy. Because the moment you have your stability of daily mindfulness, especially sati sampajana, and the spiritual faculty develop, your mind state is always in a meditative state because the mental hindrance cannot arise. That's why the moment you sit, you will go into the meditative state straight away. Unless in the midst of life, your daily mindfulness is still not stable. And then for that, maybe you have to relax, maintain awareness for 1-2 minutes or 2-3 minutes. I think maximum 5 minutes. The whole mind will become required and you will settle down. Then you realize to meditate is so simple. Then you can be in a meditative state anytime, anywhere, throughout the day. Because when the sati is stabilized, you most of the time are already aware, silent, peaceful, aware, and the mental hindrance cannot arise. So the power of spiritual faculty, leading to stability of mindfulness, is very important. That's the reason why the Buddha teach the 5 spiritual faculty of Sadha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya. Once you have developed this, you need to stabilize it until it's unshakable, until the spiritual faculty become powers. They call it balas. Now, once it becomes power, you are already destined for enlightenment. When they become powers, your spiritual faculty are so stable, we call it unshakable. is throughout the day, you are ever mindful. You are always in a meditative state. And you will have very stable sadha virya, which is unshakable. Sati samadhi, leading to wisdom, panya. They are very, very stable. So this is how the cultivation can be developed. Through this understanding, you only need to stabilize the spiritual faculty until they become unshakable powers. Then you are already destined for enlightenment. Okay? Then we move on. The other thing that you have to constantly remind yourself is the spiritual faculty of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya are very important. But these are spiritual faculties that can allow you to understand spiritual teaching. All of the spiritual teaching that the Buddha teach, without spiritual faculty, you cannot understand them. That's why you must cultivate the spiritual faculty, especially sadha and virya, through understanding who is the Buddha and how special a being he is and how wise a being he is. We can say he's not only enlightened, he's fully enlightened. And at the time when he arrives, he is the wisest and the most virtuous living being ever to be born into this universe. So that explains how wonderful the Buddha is. He is not only enlightened, he is fully enlightened, perfect in wisdom and virtue. Yeah. That's how your faith in him becomes unshakable, your gratitude, your respect towards him becomes unshakable. That's how the spiritual faculty of sadha leading to virya, virya leading to sati, sati leading to samadhi and panya come about. So when these five spiritual faculties are developed, you will keep on understanding spiritual teaching. So the whole cultivation becomes very easy. Don't worry about the mental hindrance. Let it be. Focus on the opposite five spiritual faculty. Once the spiritual faculties are there, the mental hindrance sits by itself. So don't have to do anything with the mental hindrance. Don't try to control, suppress, and do all those funny things. Especially the mental hindrance of sensual desire and ill will, and the restlessness of mind, doubt, sloth and talk. But you don't have to do anything. Develop the opposite spiritual faculty. Then all this will fall into place. Then it will root out mental hindrance. Okay, we move on to verse Unicode 115. This living being, the five aggregates of form and mind, may not be you, but it is subject to karma. Therefore, we need to develop wisdom to use them with understanding to arise the appropriate right thought, right speeches, right action, and right action to take care of karma so as to be a blessing to all, but not to be deluded by it, by the mundane mind, by the physical body in the mind, or my mind. Then we move on to the next verse, verse 116. So verse 116 is about the conditioned and the unconditioned Dhamma. Both the conditioned and unconditioned Dhamma must be understood to enable one to have the complete wisdom to truly understand and live life. And this one, for cultivator, they will know. We live in a conditioned world, so we have to understand the Dhamma that exists within the conditioned world. So within the conditioned world, there is such thing as Dhamma, the Four Noble Truth, human being, karma. Then it recognizes relationship, everything. But within the unconditioned, all this is, they don't exist. So these two are independent, but they are complementary. For those who don't understand, it looks like very contradictory or opposite to each other, but they are actually complementary. You need to have the wisdom born of the unconditioned Dhamma, means born of awakening, enlightenment. Then once you have the understanding of the unconditioned, then you can apply it when you arise through the form and mind to come and take birth, to live life. Because we need a vehicle and a tool for us to come to this existential world. So when you have this wisdom developed through the meditative training and process, then it will protect you from being deluded. So this form of mind that has the wisdom developed, connected, will not be deluded anymore. That's the reason why it will not suffer anymore. Yeah. Then it know how to live life. Yeah. Then it will not be deceived by the phenomenal world of consciousness, yeah, by the form world, by the mundane mind. So all this, they will fail to have any power over you because of that wisdom, the unconditioned Dhamma, the awakening. Mm. Then it know how to apply this wisdom to stand above the conditioned world Dhamma. The conditioned world Dhamma has its own reality. Even though it's impermanent, little suffering, non-self, empty, no reality. But there is such thing as life. You can still live life to the fullest. Yet there is still this form of mind that is subject to karma. There is a duty that we have to cultivate or perform with respect to this form of mind being subject to karma. So we need to take care of karma. We need to avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind following the advice of the Buddha. And that one is subject to karma. So you cannot simply do things. You cannot simply ignore things. You cannot say, all this not real, empty, not me. Then you do what you like. No. It may not be you, but it's connected to your karmic nature. And your karmic nature is connected to your spiritual nature. So they are all intertwined, interlinked. Yeah. So we need to understand we still need to take care of karma because the form and mind depend on the karmic nature to be strong. If the karmic nature is not strong, then it's very difficult. When you come to this world, when you take birth, your karmic nature is the one that decides your life because we are born of our karma, to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma, and we are what we are because of our karma. So if we don't take care of karma, our karmic nature will fall and our life will be in jeopardy. We will suffer. We will become afflicted, miserable. That's the reason why even though it's not real, not you, but you have to understand that there is a duty that one needs to do towards the law of karma. That's why the enlightened being will have this quality of right duty, is the enlightened disciple of the Buddha. So, means under the salutation to the Sangha, Samichi Patipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangha. Of right duty is the order of the enlightened disciple of the Buddha. So all these are in the teaching. And when you understand, you will know how to make use of it to cultivate and to develop the beauty and wonders of living life. Mm. Okay, we will move on. Unique code 117. To be able to see things as they are, or to see the reality and realize the truth without the wrong perception arising through our memory lens is true wisdom. This understanding is truly beautiful. So this one is quite straightforward. Eh? I think by now most Kayamita should be able to understand this. So I will explain anyway. Eh? So to be able to see things as they are means what? You see the reality. Thing is the way it is. Seeing things as they are. Not what your views, opinion, condition, and memory is telling you. That one is deluded. That one is not the reality. The reality is condition like that, things be like that. That is the reality at that moment. That at that moment, when you see things as they are, there is no word, no concept. The mundane mind hasn't come out and create all those wrong perception. That's why you can see things as they are, the pure awareness, the pure consciousness. So in the seeing consciousness, there is no one to see. It's just that seeing consciousness, like what the Buddha shared with us. In the seeing, is only the seeing consciousness, no one to see. So that pure awareness, the pure consciousness without the word, without the concept, means seeing things as they are. So this is seeing truth, seeing reality. That's how you awaken. That's how you meditate, the direct seeing, the awakening. So when you see this way, it's pure awareness, mindfulness, sati, in the meditative state. So there is no wrong perception. Wrong perception means through your views, your opinion, your conditioning, your memory. Then you perceive it. And that is wrong perception, because that is with delusion, with ignorance. So when you see through the memory lens, means you see through your accumulated memory. Accumulated memory, they accumulate all of your experiences, good and bad. And what are they? Especially the negative one. They are your scars of memories, your phobia, your sorrow, your lamentation, your views, your opinion, your conditioning, and whatever belief system that you carry. Of course, there are also your insecurity, your happy moments. So all this is what memory is all about. Before you are enlightened, you are still egoic, deluded. That's why all this memory is the egoic mind that has all the wrong view, the wrong perception. So acting according to memory is not acting at all. So if you have this wrong perception arising through your memory lens, then you become deluded. That's why there is no wisdom. But when you are without the perception that arises through the memory lens, that is true wisdom. Means seeing things as they are. That pure awareness. That is the meditative mind, direct seeing, that will awaken you, that will develop the understanding. Then the quote says, this understanding is truly beautiful. So you have to develop the meditative mind, sati sampajana, to have this ability to see, to awaken. When you are ever mindful, you will always see things as they are. You will be able to see the reality and realize the truth. Like I always say, the universal characteristic or truth, anicca, dukkha, anatta, is everywhere in the midst of life and nature. Why can't you see? Because for those who see, they always see. But the deluded one, they will never see, because they are not in the meditative state. They think a lot. The mind is heedless. Heedlessly thinking and wandering off. Seldom with the moment in pure awareness to realize the truth, to understand, to see things as they are. They can't. So this is what Unicode 117 is all about. Then we move on to 118. Unicode 118. Everything is in a state of constant flux within the existential condition arising and dependent originating world. So if you are mindful in life, you will see this. Every moment, every instant, everything is dependent originating condition arising cause of no. So everything is in a state of flux, ever moving, ever changing. You look at your own form and mind, your feeling, your perception, your sankhara, your consciousness, your activity of mind. even your pulse of life, your heartbeat, everything, they keep on arising and passing away in a constant state of flux. For the scientists, they also know when they put under the microscope, the solid table that you see, or the form that you see, you think is solid, remaining like permanent. But you put under the microscope, when you magnify it, you can see the vibration, the electron, the neutron, everything, and there's a lot of space in between. But they are held on to energy movement at high speed. That's why matter is energy. Energy is matter. They are interconvertible. That's how Einstein, E equals MC squared, the equation, come about. So all this, if you are mindful, you can see them. That's why finally, when you are ever mindful, constantly meditating after you awaken, all of a sudden, like you realize, truth is everywhere. The characteristic of nature is everywhere, every moment, every instant. Why can't you see? Then for those who see, they always see. Every moment, every instant is there. So every movement of mundane mind, you can see the characteristics. Every perception, you can see the characteristics. Every moment of consciousness, you can see the characteristics. The movement is so fast. Then your awareness is different. Your awareness nature, your true mind, your meditative. And that one is eternally the unconditioned. Just aware, silent inside there. Nothing else. It's just a nature. But that one can understand. That one can actually develop the awakening. That one is the one that can arise the direct seeing, the awakening, the understanding. That is the one that can see thought. All of the characteristics of nature. Then dependent originating, condition arising, cause of the norm. It sees them all. That's how it develops wisdom and understanding. So this aspect need meditative mind to understand. Your daily mindfulness must be stable. You must develop it. Okay, then we move on. Unique code 119. Pancha Nivaranas, or mental hindrance, the five mental hindrance. They are sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, means lethargic mind, sleepy mind. Then you have restlessness of mind, fear, worry, anxiety. Then the last one is doubt or indecision. These mind states hinders our mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. Therefore, to develop the meditative mind, we must cultivate the opposite five spiritual faculties of Sadha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya to counter these mental hindrances in order to enable us to understand spiritual teaching. So this one we have covered before. We will move on. Verse 120 is very important. With sati and samadhi develop, wisdom or panya, the fifth spiritual faculty, will arise. With wisdom, all the five mental hindrances will cease, and mind will be in a meditative state all the time. The key word is naturally, because no more mental hindrance. When there is no more mental hindrance, it means no more mind states to hinder your mind from entering the meditative state. So what happens is sati will take over, the spiritual faculty will take over. So you are always in the state of sadha, which is faith in the Buddha and his teaching. So this sadha will make your mind very calm and very composed. And your faith in the Buddha and his teaching is so stable, unwavering. Then after that, when you have sati, the mind is just aware without thought. When it's just aware without thought, means what? No fear, no worry, no anxiety, no sorrow, no lamentation, no agitation, no restlessness, nothing. But it's just aware, silent. tranquil, peaceful. And you will experience piti, sukham, and all the beautiful mind state of even paucity, which is the tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind, the meditative mind. So this is what meditation is all about. When you understand, everything falls into place, and you understand them. And through understanding, meditation becomes very easy. Very, very easy. So this understanding will help you develop the meditation so that you can settle down very easily. Then sati and samadhi can allow you to have the stability to see things as they are, thereby awakening to their universal characteristic and all those things. So wisdom is very important. When the wisdom are there, the five spiritual faculties is to be. The five mental hindrances is to be. So the five mental hindrances is to be. Then the mind will return to its original state of sati, or in the meditative state of silent inner awareness with tranquility and stillness. That's how you will have clarity of mind, stability of mind, the silent mind, fully aware, ever mindful, constantly meditating. Okay, then we move on to the next Unicode 121. Sense restraint born of understanding is very profound. It's not blindly suppressing, controlling, and bottling up of one's emotion without being aware of the evils that cause the internal conflict within oneself. So this verse 121 is very beautiful. When you have mindfulness, you can see them. The mindfulness will lead to the awakening, the understanding. Then once you understand, you will become different. Your mind becomes very sensitive, where you understand what constitutes evil. Then you will know how to arise a four right effort to abandon the wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action. Then with the wisdom developed, you can even prevent them from arising in the future. Then you can develop the cultivation of the right thought, right speech, right action, they are still not in you. Then after that, the final right effort to refine upon all this beautiful mind state that you have cultivated, then perfect them. And when you have completed the four right effort, you will have sense restraint. Sense restraint leading to awakening, enlightenment. And sense restraint is step 6 of Avijja Sutta. And it's a consequence of sati sambhajana. When you have step 5 developed, stabilized with the initial wisdom, everything supporting you, then sense restraint becomes automatic because your mindfulness is so sensitive. Your understanding is so stable. You understand what constitutes evil, what are the mental hindrances. Then when you can see them, you can abandon them. You can prevent them from arising. Or you can use the five ways that the Buddha teach to actually do away with them. Especially the third and the fourth way, leading to the meditative understanding, the wisdom way. So all this will lead to your ability to have sense restraint. When you have this ability, you will never break your precept. The five precepts minimum. And when you can never break your five precepts, it means you are at least a sotapan. Otherwise, you cannot do it. So you are at least enlightened, awakened to the first stage of sainthood. So this sense restraint is very beautiful, very profound. So now I read again this unique quote, you understand. Sense restraint born of understanding. The qualification is born of understanding. It's very profound. Means you cannot break your precept anymore. Your senses are very well restrained. Yeah? Then it's not blindly suppressing or controlling your emotion, your anger, or bottling them up. Yeah? But you will develop wisdom born of mindfulness. Yeah? So here I say it's not blindly suppressing, controlling, and bottling up one's emotion without being aware of the evil. So you did the opposite. Means you have mindfulness, you are aware of the evil root. That's why you can abandon them and you can develop the cultivation accordingly. Mm. So once you are able to do that, then there is no more internal conflict within oneself. Mm. So you will have the understanding and you will be able to relinquish all the unwholesome thought, unwholesome speech, and unwholesome action and livelihood that you have developed as you go through life. Okay? Then the next verse is verse Yenik, Dhamma Code 122. Mm. This one is a re-emphasis. Eh? I wrote here, only wisdom free, nothing else. Wisdom is an understanding which is not rigid. Wisdom is not knowledge. Wisdom is having right understanding or right view with regards to the law of karma that governs all of life and existence within our existential world. So this one is easy to understand, huh, by now. All the psychic that you do will not help you. To free your mind, you need wisdom. That's it. That's the only thing you need. That's the reason why the Dhamma is about cultivating wisdom. Not to go for all the energy field, the fantastic meditative experience, or the various style of concentration, jhana, and all this. The main intent and purpose of the real meditation is to awaken, to develop the wisdom. Awakening, free the mind. The conditioned state, fantastic meditative experience and mind state will not free the mind. It's just a conditioned state. Maybe you find it interesting. It can give you the egoic mind, make you feel very proud that you achieve, that you are fantastic. Huh? People cannot do, you can do. But can you live life with that? Maybe it will make you more famous, but you will not free your mind. You lack wisdom. You lack understanding. And without that, you can be afflicted when you confront the first noble truth reality, the eight realities of life and existence. So these are all very clearly explained, huh, in the teaching. Okay, then we move on to the next verse. Unique code, verse 123. And this one is also very useful. Having wisdom will enable one to have right view and right understanding, to accept the reality of the present moment and not be, to be attached to anything. So this one is very useful. Yeah? So wisdom is the one that will enable you to have right view and right understanding. And when you have right view and right understanding with regards to the three spiritual law, law of karma, law of mind, and law of truth or dhamma, then you will be able to accept the reality of the present moment. Then you will not attach to anything. That's how wisdom free. Without wisdom, you cannot have the right view to free. So this one is also very important. Okay, with this, I think we will end our today's sharing. So we will stop at page 34. And next Sunday is page 35. So now it's 4:10. Okay, just nice. We will have 45 minutes of meditation. silent inner awareness meditation, then we can have our next session, which is meditation reporting and Q&A. Okay, we are off the light. Then you all can start your meditation. As usual, the four support. Relax into every mind state that arises. Then maintain awareness. Don't do anything. Don't try to know. Just let the mind settle down and become very quiet. Just experience that quietness, that stillness, that silence. You want to use the 6 hours to help you develop better understanding, you can. But finally, come back to the same thing. Relax, away, finish. So instead of recognize that there is a disturbance or something that is distracting your mind, that causing you to be distracted from being entering the meditative state. So they say after you recognize that, you release it. Means don't have anything to do with whether it's pain or itchiness or numbness or heedless thinking. Just let it be. That's why you recognize, release. When you release means has nothing to do with it. Then relax into every mind state that arises. It's the same. Then after you relax, he asks you to re-smile. If you want to use the mind serving method and metta, then you can do the re-smile. It's the same. Then after that, he say, return. He say, return to your anapanasati. But because you already developed the understanding, you don't need to really have an object of meditation. Unless you find it useful, then you want to return to anapanasati. You can. But whatever you do with any skillful means or method or technique or even anapanasati, you just allow the anapanasati to go on until it becomes very quiet and very still, until the subtle breathing like no more breath. That is your silent mind. That is your true mind. That is pasati. You have to realize that. Then after that, you technically don't need any object of meditation. Like swimming, the float, you don't need it anymore. But you're already aware in the moment. When the subtle breathing comes, you can stay there and maintain awareness without anything, without any anchor. Then when the mind enters a tea after that, then you realize you don't need anything to let this mind stay silent. Means you don't need an anchor. Wherever you locate this mind, it's silent on its own. Is mindful, is sensitive. Then all your movement become like magnified. Then the subtle breathing that you cannot detect last time, like you got no breathing, now start to come back to you. It's like there is breathing again. Then you can actually follow it. Very short, very subtle, but because your mindfulness has become more refined, then it's like you understand. Okay, so all this, you develop them. Then silence your mind and use that meditative mind to meditate, to develop the understanding of who you are, what you are, the form of mind, and all those sense or activity. Okay? Now you can proceed with your meditation. I will ring the bell after the 45 minutes is up. Okay. You all can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Then we can continue your second session. Always remember, whatever mind state that you have developed, you have to try your very best to maintain them for as long as you can. Whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness, especially mindfulness, you have to continue from the meditative posture, maintain awareness, mindfulness, the peacefulness, the tranquility, the stillness, for as long as you can. And if your mind has entered sati, you will see the big difference. Every of your movement, action, they are all in sati. The specific phenomenal awareness, that phenomenal and your mind awareness move as one. Then it's like you are throughout the day just aware without thought. So when you can do that, you have to maintain that consistency. Do not be complacent. Then stabilize your daily mindfulness. Daily mindfulness must be stabilized. Stabilize until your mind enters sati. Then the sati has become a part of you, a part of your nature. Then throughout the day, whatever you do, the inner awareness is there. You are always in sati. And that is the mind state that you need to develop. You have to reach that stability of daily mindfulness until step 5, sati sampajana, become very stable, very clear. And then you will understand many things. Then you will cultivate the real noble eightfold path in the midst of life. Then dhamma, or understanding, keep on arising. Whatever you contemplate, reflect, inquire, you will just understand and awaken. Then you start to see things that you never see before. Especially the evil roots, the mind state, the paticca samuppada link. Then you understand all the palitam, the five aggregate. Vedana sanya sankara, especially sankara and vinyana. Then all the various aspects of form, rupang, you will also start to understand them. And the meaning become clearer and clearer. Well, when you see them, you understand what they are. Okay, now we will continue our session after this, which is the meditation reporting, followed by whatever question you have. You can ask meditation question or any question regarding the Dhamma or the teaching, and also help you understand life or help you resolve whatever life problem that you may have. Application of the Dhamma. So now we will open up. You can just wave your hand or come in and on your speaker, then you can just ask whatever question or report your meditation. Okay, while I have a drink, you go ahead. Anybody? Just report exactly the last 40 or 45 minutes meditation. What happened? Then if you have any question, you can ask. You must learn how to report your meditation. Otherwise, you will not learn much. But when you can report your meditation, miss, you are already improving. You know what you are doing, and it will become very clear. Anybody? This one is Zhong Gaiwen.
Mm.
Is it Brother Zhong that came and see me? Hello? There is a Zhong Gaiwen. Is that the new Brother Zhong?
Yes, Brother Teo.
Oh, you are the one?
Yes.
Oh, sadhu to you. Hey, welcome. Nice to see you. Yeah. You want to say anything or ask any question?
No.
Sadhu, yeah.
Mm.
Mm. Sadhu, I rejoice. So today you managed to log in, huh?
Yeah.
Just like I saw the name Zhong Gaiwen. Sadhu, yeah. Many of them haven't seen you. Do we have an audio camera with you?
Video camera.
Video camera. You can on it so that they can see you.
Yeah,
you on it and see. Then you can say hi to them. This is Brother Zhong. Yes. Hi. Yeah. So for those who haven't seen Brother Zhong, the new our latest edition came. He dropped by my house that day, Teacher's Day, remember? Yeah, Sadhu. Yeah, rejoice, Sadhu. Yeah. Nice to see you again.
Nice to see you. Yeah.
You want to say
yesterday,
anything?
Yesterday, Jinhao was here.
Oh, yeah, then I came and see you, Sadhu.
Come and see me, then chit-chat.
Sadhu.
We talk a lot of things, experiences. Wow. Yeah. Few hours, yeah.
Wow, Sadhu, Jinhao.
And we did meditation also.
Sadhu, very good.
Yeah. I'm actually guiding him, try to doing the, Mr. Teo shared to us the mind sweeping method.
Yeah, that one very useful. Yeah.
We are aware one by one from the head.
Forehead.
To the, forehead, all the
leg.
To the leg.
Very good. Okay, then we see you got any other Kaya Mita who wants to report meditation now come in. Anybody? Jinhao,
Yes.
Now your turn.
Yeah, correct. I was really really grateful to Brother Chong.
He's
like my personal tutor, is it?
Oh, Sadhu, someone live near your place.
Yeah, that's right. Really, I mean I'm really, really fortunate. And he really can pinpoint exactly the problem where I was, is it?
Yeah.
Amazing. Yes, that's right.
All and then, those important points will help you. Yeah,
so right. Yeah. And he said that to really stabilize and develop the sati, I have no choice but have to really build up the former meditations, you see.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to silence your mind until very stable.
That's right. So I was very inspired by what he has said. See? And then since yesterday I was like, build up from the meditation starting from, half an hour increase to 1 hour.
Wow, very good.
And then I can
your
notice
daily religious routine also very important.
Correct.
Yeah, your daily religious routine throughout the day you have to do it. Then you progress very fast.
Correct. And you say that when you do the daily religious routines like chanting sutra and all these things.
Yeah.
The key thing is like you must notice where is your sin? 你的心在哪里?
That one very important, Your mind, your awareness.
That's right. It's not just chanting, is it? But you have to your effort and your mind. I'm not sorry, not the effort.
No, mindful of what you are doing.
Right.
When you are mindful of what you are doing, it means your awareness is always with you. There's an inner awareness. And this one is the one that protect you and drive you around. The moment this one no more, you are lost in thought, heedless thinking. Then the mind state has already proliferated, like worry, get entangled, they involve in the mundane activity. Means the awareness is no more there. So that is heedfulness. When you are no longer ever mindful, you lost your ability to be heedful. That's why that word ever mindful is very important. It's constantly aware from inside. You are always aware from inside. When you are not able to be there, then you are lost in thought. You are lost in the thinking and all those things. But to live life, you need to really train until the stability of daily mindfulness. Otherwise, you cannot integrate into life. Then your daily mindfulness cannot stabilize. And if your daily mindfulness cannot stabilize, you cannot be heedful in the midst of life. Means you cannot really do the real meditation yet. That's why stability of daily mindfulness is very important. So what he has advised you is good. You do more of your formal meditation. Normally, you can do for about 45 minutes to 1 hour is very good. Initially, half an hour or so, okay. Then later on, when you become good at it, used to it, even you sit there and relax 2-3 hours, 3-4 hours is not a problem. But you will understand what all this is, and you will know how to train yourself. And the daily religious routine is the one that will integrate your meditation into life. Means throughout the day, you already have your formal religious routine. Like when you wake up, how you develop the training of your mind, and how you have your respect, daily puja, then mindfulness training. That's the stability of formal meditation. So normally the early morning when you wake up, the formal meditation leading to all the whatever sharing of marriage and so on, right, then ending of it. Then after that, your mindfulness will continue until you have to go to office or do something else outside of your house. But MCO, you got no choice. Throughout the day, you can continue to do it. So the daily religious routine will actually move you from the formal meditation, doing your puja, religious routine, sharing merit, transfer, like you are having your own cultivation. Then to live life, you have to be ever mindful with regards to whatever you do. It can be your daily kiosk, your daily activity after you wake up, how you go to the washroom, wash your face, brush your teeth, answer nature's call. Then later on, maybe take your bath or whatever. Then go for breakfast, prepare breakfast. Then after that, you have to go out, how you move to your car, how to maintain mindfulness of driving, everything. Then you keep on having this ability to be mindful of your mental activity and movement. Then every of this is done with awareness within, understanding within. Then you will see the teaching manifesting, the essential Dhamma of the Buddha manifesting. Then you keep on understanding the essential Dhamma of the Buddha, where they keep on arising and surface within your form and mind. Very good. Then towards the end of the day, before you sleep, you can meditate. Otherwise, you want to wait till quiet moment, you go and sleep first. Then like what I did last time, 2 a.m., 3 a.m. or 1 something a.m., I will wake up on my own and I will meditate. Then after that, half an hour or 45 minutes, I will mindfully go back and sleep. Then later on, when I am already very stable, most of the time I do the lying down meditation. Formal meditation I also do, but no need so often really. The lying down meditation is very important. Then later on, when I came out to teach and share, I try to like do the sitting so that people can follow, can understand. Actually, when I go to the retreat, I don't need to sit anymore. I don't need to do all those things anymore. But to give faith sometimes, then to actually let people understand. I still do it. But most of the time, later on, when the lying down meditation is understood, in fact, that is the best posture. That posture is the most relaxed, and you can maintain awareness very fast, and you can understand that true mind very fast. You can stabilize it very fast. Then from there, you can also experience the complete cessation later on. It's in the form of meditation that the complete cessation can happen. So all this, the person that go through the training will understand. Okay. Anything else you want to share?
Yeah, he also pointed out, he say, I need to be more mindful and aware about my daily actions.
Yeah, that one very important, most important, yes.
Yeah, and then he said that will help me to strengthen my mindfulness when it comes to meditation, is it?
Correct, yes. Right. Then you can sit very easily.
Correct, correct.
You can go into that stillness very fast.
Correct,
the mind settle down very fast.
Correct.
So that's how you progress. That's why Brother John can do it because he experienced it.
Yes, correct.
And what I say. And he can follow my sharing very fast.
That's right.
Very good.
And he said that for the initial periods, for the formal meditations, he will say that I have to be more emphasized on the the number of times, is it, rather than quality. Later on, the quality will come out.
You have to sleep more often. Yeah.
Yes, that's right. Then he said that eventually, when the quality come out, then you can reduce the quantity. Is it? But
This is his way. He find out his way. You can follow. No problem. No harm. Which is very good. Because that's realize a lot of people need the stability of formal meditation to stabilize the mind. But once your mind has already entered sati, then like what he said, you can reduce the number of time. Then that sitting become more intense. The quality mind will surface. Most of the time you are in the meditative state, then you will experience a lot of sukhang, a lot of piti, and a lot of tranquility, stillness, and the manifestation of mind. Then the power of mind, when it is a sati, the awareness nature, it can understand many things. It's very sensitive. It can see many things that people cannot see. It can understand many things that normal people cannot understand. Then there is a lot of joy, like what he said. After that, when he developed the understanding, he realized there is nobody he can talk to, very few. That's why finally he need to come. Very good.
Okay, sadhu.
Sadhu, thank you for the sharing. Yeah. Okay, anybody else? You can report your meditation or maybe ask whatever question that you want to develop understanding. Anybody else?
And Brother, do you want to ask a question?
Our friend from Copenhagen, she's from Klang originally, but she has been working there for a few years, 4 or 5 years already.
Coming to 5 years, time flies.
Yeah, very fast, huh?
I wanted to ask you two questions. They're related one. Why listening to the mantras? Why is it helpful? And why is it, at least for me, two specific ones are very helpful. One is the Heart Sutra, we already know. Then the other one is Usnisa Vijaya Dharani. Why is it so helpful for me?
I
don't understand anything in it.
What is the second one? The second
Usnisa Vijaya.
What is that?
It says I don't know. It's from Imi Uis, Usnisa Vijaya Dharani. It's all it says. I don't know why.
Is it a Buddhist chanting or some other chanting?
It is a Buddhist chanting, as far as I know.
How do you spell it?
Later I send to you, but Usnisa, Usnisa, then Vijaya, Vijaya.
Oh, you send to me, huh? I have a look at it, then I listen, then maybe I'll come back to you. So your question is, how does it help? Huh? So the
or why is it so helpful?
Yeah, why is it so helpful or how it can help you? It depends on the individual because different people are different. So most of this sutta or this chanting, if you have affinity with that particular chanting or sutta, like the heart sutta, the Sing Sing, it will develop that connectivity leading to the faith, very strong faith, because that nature of Kuan Yin is very powerful, especially Sing Sing. Sing Sing is one of the Kuan Yin's skillful means of teaching. And that teaching is very powerful, very profound. So Kuan Yin has this special nature, which he already make it into a vow. Whomsoever who call upon her chanting or her name or her four hao, like Om Mami Padme Hum or the Da Bei Zhou, they call it the Great Compassionate Mantra, Da Bei Zhou. All this will connect you to his nature, or you can just chant Namo Kuan Si Ying Pu Sa, or Kuan Yin Pu Sa, Kuan Yin Pu Sa, Kuan Yin Pu Sa. So all this chanting can actually connect you. All the singing and all the things, that it will give you very strong faith and vibration. Then, because Kuan Yin's nature is of great compassion and wisdom, and if you know how to develop the affinity with Kuan Yin's nature, normally the three things will happen. You have to request for Kuan Yin's blessing, protection, and guidance. So her blessing is very important. It will bless you in many ways, in the cultivation, in the progress, in meditation, in the understanding of the penetrative teaching. So this blessing and protection is to protect your form and mind, because your nature don't need protection. Only your form and mind, which is subject to karma. But this one is very fragile in the sense that it can easily be damaged or affected. So the protection from Kuan Yin is to protect this form and mind before it degenerate too fast, before death happens. So like my nature, I came to know every life this nature arises. The three things that my nature requested because of the long affinity, Kuan Yin's great blessing, protection, and guidance, they are always there. That's why even this time, her nature helped me at least three occasions. Otherwise, my form and mind would have been gone long ago. The first one is when I was 8 years old, swimming in the Kedah River. I almost drowned. Then something miraculously happened. That's why that incident impact upon me. I knew something helped me, but I don't know what it is. Because something very strange just happened. Then after that, I vowed not to go into the river to swim again, because I saw the danger. Then after that, 20 over years later, I remember, when I was 8 years old until I was 35 years old, after 1989, after I had developed understanding, then I was paying respect to Kuan Yin in my house. The gratitude, the respect, the faith was very strong. I was in tears. And then all of a sudden, when I came out, when I looked at the Kuan Yin image, that vision came back when I was 8 years old. When I was swimming in the river, I almost drowned. That vision came back to me. How that basketball floated against the wave and the stream to come back to me. and to help me actually held on to the basketball. Oh, then straight away I knew. Then I was in tears, profusely in tears, and I thank Kuan Yin for saving my life. So that protection is very important. Then there were two more occasions. Yeah. Then finally, Kuan Yin's guidance, 1986, like I told you, he came with a message. That's why my nature moved after that very fast. Then I realized those who have affinity with Kuan Yin, like my mother and all those things, they have affinity with my nature. And a lot of Kayanamita also, they came to me through Kuan Yin's affinity. Otherwise, they cannot. And then at the retreat also, that heart sutta touched the heart of many, many cultivators. And that teaching is so powerful. That's why these are all the reason why when you have the affinity, it can really benefit cultivator. That's why listening to heart sutta, chanting and mantra, they are useful. So if you understand, the first thing is to develop the faith in you, the spiritual faculty. Then you connect to the affinity. Like Brother Song, when he was in the Rayung, Wat Ma Chat, I think Achan Anand's place. It was because of one of Kuan Yin's chanting, I think. I forgot which chanting really is in Pali, I think. That chanting came out, then it synchronized and synced with his heart. Then that vibration keep on playing inside there. Even Alicia and some other Kayamita, they realize this chanting on its own, they come. And it's like that nature and the chanting become one. Especially Alicia. Alicia got affinity with this. Tisang Wang Pusa also. That chanting just arrived. So you will know. Then when I was young, until later when I started to develop the cultivation, that's like the first time I went up to Cameron Highland, I was so surprised. I just went for five days retreat. Then in between, somehow I was attracted to the chanting, the early morning chanting and the afternoon chanting. Then the moment they chant Amitabha, 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 I just drawn to it. No? Then I can just follow with the mindfulness and the faith and the understanding, which made my nature new, and it has done it before. Then when it comes to Kuan Yin chanting, it's the same. Then all the great beings, nature there, I can feel them. My nature can feel them, can draw from them. And there was a lot of joy. And when I first saw Maitreya, when I was there, that nature arose. It was Maitreya that invited me to come out to share in the year 2008, that nature. So all these are possible, singing. So hope it can give you faith and help you understand. So for your case, it's also the Heart Sutta. Then the other sutta you sent to me, I haven't heard before. Maybe you send to me, then I can look at it. Sadhu. Anything else?
Thank you.
Anything else?
No, continue. No.
Okay. Thank you, Sadhu. Yeah, strive on with heedfulness. Continue. Yeah. Okay, who else? Maybe we can take one more. Another 10 minutes, so that we can end at about 5:40. Anybody else wants to report meditation or ask question or share anything? Alicia, you want to say something? Yeah.
Good evening, Brother Teo.
Good evening, Sadhu.
Good evening, all meters.
Yeah.
His brother Teo mentioned about nigga Kuan Yin the chanting. So I actually Feng Xiang is the experience so that bring faith to all mitas.
Yeah, sadhu.
Because I once report my meditation.
Yeah.
那时候那个观音禅定一直在里面，自己在里面。对，然后 Brettio 不是叫我 relax into it.
Yeah, relax into it.
So 然后我就在无边金色的 meditation class 里面，我就 relax into it. Then 哦，我就 like after that 我就 report 给你知道我 like 进去里面，然后慢慢出来那个
对对对。 That one is a very beautiful experience. Yeah. Then you went into that state, that cessation actually. Then you understand what that nature is. And when you come out, you understand how the mundane mind manifests. That one is very beautiful. I remember that.
Yeah. 还有就是，Brad，最近我的former sitting 哈，我觉得很 peaceful.
Yeah.
就坐下就觉得很 peaceful, 很
very easy to go into that meditative state.
就是很，我不懂怎么讲，就是很 you tend to like you feel very how to say comfortable in meditation.
Yeah. You have
so
a lot of joy, a lot,
joy,
of,
joy, a lot of joy,
a lot of happiness. Then the mind state is so beautiful. These are the mind state that people are trying to yearn for or look for, but it doesn't come. But if you have developed the understanding and do it accordingly, it keeps on arising and happening. But there is heedful mind, heedful living. The trained mind is actually that state. That is your original mind, your true mind, your meditative state. And the mundane mind is the one that surfaces from it, dependent originating, condition arising. So without wisdom, the mundane mind take over and living being become heedless. They are so entangled with the thought process. They are almost 99.999% with the mundane mind thought process. But when you are a cultivator, you reverse all this. You become most of the time, almost all the time, most of the time, aware, mindful, without thought. Yeah. You only need to arise them when you need to use them to communicate or to explain things or to live life. And then you arise them. Otherwise, most of the time, we are just aware, mindful, peaceful, clarity, like you experience. The meditative mind state is so beautiful. Sadhu, then how?
Thank you, Brother Teo. Thank you for your guidance all these years.
Yeah, sadhu. Amitabha for your good sharing. All the sharing has been very good today. Hopefully, this will give faith to all the other Kayamita so that you can develop the meditation diligently, sincerely. Then once you persevere, the result will come. Nowadays, more and more people understand. And I start to see people who has strong past coming by. So like new people, Brother Zhang was so different. The moment I heard about him through that text message, then when he appeared, the moment he shared with me what went through and explained to me the gratitude and the respect, and he wanted to come and meet up with me and pay the respect, then I knew. Then after that, we shared many things. And I was so surprised. He can understand all this very fast without meeting up with me. Means he has his past. He has his understanding and the condition behind. That's why my nature rejoices that there are such cultivator around. Maybe it's about time for them to appear because of the website. Without the website, he wouldn't know about me. He wouldn't come. He said because of the website, he located the website. Then actually the video first, then he went to the website. Then after that, he said he has been listening to it for 1 year. Then he transformed and benefited tremendously from it. That's how he becomes so different. Then when he starts to develop all the understanding, he was so keen to meet up and come and pay the respect, the gratitude and all those things. That's how it unfolded and it happened. So more and more Kayanamita cultivator will be able to progress and develop the transformation. My nature rejoices. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we can end. If there is no more, then we can end. Anybody else? Still got 5 more minutes of healing. Anybody? Don't have. And then we will do the sharing of merits, transfer of merit. Then we invoke the blessing for the nation. Then you can make your aspiration. Akasata chabumata devanaga mahindika punyantang anamoditwa chirang rakantu lokasasana itta watta chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anamodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo deo wasatukalena sasa sampati hetu cya vito bhavatu loko cya Raja Bhavatu Dhammiko Imina Punyang Kamina Mame Bala Samagamo Satang Samagamo Hotu Yawa Nivana Patiya Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, thank you so much. And you all can pay respect to Sakyamuni Buddha and all the great beings, the worthy one. Then we will end the recording. Thank you.